Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Freedom Filled Life podcast. I'm your host, Shay Brown, co-founder of the Bucketless Bombshells, where we serve women who are building, growing, and scaling service-based online businesses. And today we have a very special guest. I am bringing on Chelsea, and she is one of our Scale with Purpose Mastermind members in our most recent cohort round. And I'm so excited to be sitting down with her. Chelsea is a social media manager and strategist who specializes in helping busy lawyers create really intentional content on social media. And that's going to be a part of the conversation we're diving into today. And she really loves working with lawyers who are passionate about serving and making a change within their community. And what's really cool is in this niche with these lawyers, she's been able to help multiple clients generate multi-six-figure years from their online presence, as well as increase their following and engagement 10x after working with her. So she has lots of knowledge to share with us, but the main focus that we're going to be talking about today is really around authenticity within social media.
Have you always dreamed of launching an online business? Well, you're in just the right place because we recently launched a brand new program called Bucketless Bombshells Launch Camp. This is an 8-week live group program for 30 women who are ready to launch an online service-based business in 2024. If you're ready to be your own boss, do work you're passionate about, have that work-life balance you're craving, and build your own legacy, then you're ready to apply to grab one of the 30 spots in Bucketless Bombshells Launch Camp. You can find all the program details and how to apply at bucketlessbombshells.com/launchcamp, or check the show notes for the link. We can't wait to help you finally hit launch on your business in 2024. All right, let's get back to today's episode.
So let's dive into it, and welcome to the podcast, Chelsea.
Hi, Shay. Thank you for having me. That was a great intro.
I mean, I am your coach, you know, I gotta help. I gotta give you like the best intro and always be singing your praises over here. I'm just so proud of the work that you do within your business. So can you actually share with our listeners, our audience, a little bit about your business and the services that you're offering and maybe more about who you're working with?
Yeah, definitely. So I have a social media management business. I focus, as of recently, focused in on niching down with lawyers. So right now my clientele is mainly lawyers building their online presences on Instagram. I have a couple of them on TikTok as well. And what I offer is just a monthly recurring social media management model where I'm doing, you know, full content creation for them, short form video guidance, helping with the ongoing strategy, analytic reporting, basically making sure like all their content and strategy is aligned with their goals, which is usually to just build brand awareness, but also generate more leads for their business.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So much fun. So today we're going to be talking about how to really show up authentically on social media. And I think this is something that people have been talking about for a while, since really social media became kind of the main marketing channel for a lot of us, especially us who are showing our faces, who are either selling one-on-one services. So you're, hey, you want to work with me, here's who I am and what I do. And then there's that line of like, well, how do we show up authentically as ourselves while still promoting our products and services while also having boundaries? So I think that authenticity on social media can really mean different things to different people, but I'd love to know, what does that look like for you, and kind of what does showing up authentically mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a reason everyone has a different perception of what authenticity is. And the reasoning for that is because it means something different to all of us, right? Yeah. So the best way I could explain the way I perceive it is that it's doing what feels good to you. It's doing what feels most aligned for you. And that looks different for everyone, right? Because someone might love to share, you know, their family and like behind the scenes of that kind of life online, whereas someone else would find that not aligned with what they want to be sharing with their audience. They'd rather keep that private. So the best way I could explain it is it's doing what feels most aligned to you, what lights you up and feels good at the end of the day. That's my simple answer.
I love that. And kind of taking it a step further, how are we able to do that when we are marketing and promoting our services or our products, and really feel that we are providing that transparency around our products and services, around ourselves, around our results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think when it comes to figuring out how to take what feels aligned for you and then turning mm-hmm. it into content or something that makes mm-hmm. sense, you know, really is a matter of testing things out. I mean, really with social media and trends and everything like that, it's constant A/B testing, which sometimes I love. Sometimes it can get a little crazy, but it's really a matter of thinking and mapping out, which, you know, if you brought in a professional, like a social media manager, like me, to help with this part of the business, what I would do is help you kind of, you know, map out all these different parts of your life and your business that you want to be sharing, and then coming to the table with a strategy that we could initially test, see how it's performing, not only like the data, right, how it's doing online, mm-hmm. but also how you're feeling. Because I've had some clients come to me and say, you know, this segment we were testing where I was showing up on video, sharing my thoughts of the day, is too overwhelming. Like, I can't do it anymore. So then we switch it out and we say, okay, let's do like maybe one post a week where it's maybe a static photo of you, a personal photo, a throwback, and you're sharing your thoughts there. It's a matter of mapping everything out and then A/B testing to see what content format, the consistency of it, what feels best.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that you're seeing kind of stand out right now as what is working well in terms of engagement and really connecting with your audience?
Yeah. So I would say, if I had to summarize, because the clients I'm working with, going based off what's working well for them, what we're doing in their content strategy, they all have variation because they're all sharing their own messaging. They have their own way of talking to their audience. But one commonality I will say is that they're showing up in video regularly and consistently. They're all leveraging Instagram Reels. And then I have a couple clients who are also having that crossed over to TikTok, and they're seeing pretty great results from that. I think video, I will never be like the social media manager that tells a client, like, you have to make video content or else you're going nowhere. I'll never say that, because there's still other ways to grow online without doing video, if that doesn't feel good to you, right? But I will say, I think video gives that personable element that a static photo can't give you, right? Because you're showing up on the camera talking, and that's what's really building that know, like, trust with your audience. So video content would be a huge one.
I feel like that is, video content has been like queen for a couple years now on all the platforms. Before, I felt like it was very image based. We were much more focused on our static images. And then it's definitely shifted. I've noticed a huge shift too, to a lot of content creators and service-based business owners going on to YouTube as well now. So long form content and splicing that up into the shorter form content. So for video content. And so I think it's hard for those. What advice would you give for those who don't really want to show up on video, but it is kind of the strategy we're all hearing? It's, you know, you got to be on video. When you're working with a client that maybe is not as comfortable on video, how would you kind of help them either overcome that, or do you guide them in like a different way? Like you said, you don't try and push your clients there. Like, what do you do with your clients in that scenario?
Yeah, I love that question, because I think a lot of people struggle with video and like creating content in general. And it's something I've told my clients, and like, I will say it myself, because there's no point in like hiding it and acting like we're all perfect. I struggle with it, and I do this for a living. So I think that says a lot. Yeah. I feel like there's reassurance first in just knowing and acknowledging that pretty much everybody feels this initial resistance to making video content. There's this like imposter syndrome or this fear around what people will think, or what would you even talk about? So just acknowledging that first is usually the first step. But then, I guess tying into what we're talking about today with the authenticity, the next thing I would be with is, do you like making video content? How does it make you feel? Because I have had some clients in the past who despise it. They literally makes them so anxious to even sit down and like turn on the camera. And at that point, if they don't want to accept coaching and they don't really want to overcome that. And I can tell there's a strong resistance. Mm-hmm. I would recommend other avenues then of content at that point. I wouldn't see a benefit in forcing it. Mm-hmm. In fact, there have been instances where a client was pretty apprehensive to it, but they're like, you know what? Let's try, but I can just tell they really don't want to. And mm-hmm. we hit a roadblock at some point, because mm-hmm. if you don't enjoy it or some piece of it, you're not going to be putting it out consistently. And that's where the growth happens. So then what's the point? So that's like in certain cases like that, that's how I would guide somebody or advise anybody who's wondering if they should do video, but they really just don't like it at all. And that's okay. Whereas on the flip side, a lot of my clients I'm working with right now who are doing really well, they actually love video. And I don't mean to say like they wake up excited to like film, but they enjoy it. Like they do enjoy the process. They have fun coming up with the ideas. They have fun playing around with different hooks and different ways to make the video. So if that sounds like you, then that's something to explore more. It means you don't have this resistance. You don't have this wall. Mm-hmm. So you are open to being, you know, like more exposed to it, getting more familiar with it. I think it also starts with just repeating the actions of sitting down, turning on the camera, recording, just getting familiar with that piece of it is really huge. And then working your way into posting. And then a lot of it is perspective and mindset. I mean, you can hire a social media manager like me who will help coach you through any limiting beliefs you might have if you're open to it. But at the end of the day, it's on you to just shift that mindset of people are not looking at your video, picking you apart the way you think they are. They really aren't. There's so many content creators. There's so many, like, just think about it. If you're on Instagram or TikTok, right? You're scrolling down your feed. You're overwhelmed by so much. So we get in our heads and we think people are picking us apart when they're not. So shifting perspective from that into who am I helping? Who am I serving? Who needs to hear this message today? Has been a big game changer for a lot of my clients, just reminding them that. So yeah, if you're on either side of the spectrum when it comes to making video.
Yeah. And if they are really not interested in the video, do you switch them to different platforms? Is there, you know, move them away from, say, for example, TikTok? It'd be, I think, obviously very difficult if we're not doing video for TikTok. So is it like, okay, let's readjust our strategy. Let's choose other platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, where else can we be? Maybe that's blogging and Pinterest or or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. So my next method would be like establishing, first of all, there's a difference between being resistant to video and content in general, because I have seen that and observed that in my own work, where some clients, and this is maybe just a misconception about social media and hiring a social media manager, is like this belief that we will just like magically make content for you. You know, so there still needs to be that level of, okay, you're resistant to video. It makes you really nervous. Are you resistant to also setting up like a batching photo shoot every quarter and like getting a bunch of candid shots of you or whatever you want it to look like on social media? Are you at least open to that? Do you like that? Then if they say yes, you know, I have no problem with that, then that's what we work towards, is establishing the platform that makes sense for that, which, you know, would be Instagram most likely in that case. And working towards just optimizing that content as much as we can through, you know, hashtags, location tags, quality images that are a little more aesthetically pleasing, since Instagram is the place for that, for feed posts at least.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be kind of the next thing I'd want to work towards with the client if they were resistant to video.
Yeah. So helpful. So interesting. I think it's, I like how you said resistance. Are you just resistant to not creating content? And then like, maybe like you don't, I can't help you. Or is it that, can we find a different outlet? You know, is it writing? Is it like doing batch photo shoots? Is it, you know, where do you want to show up? Basically, where do you want to be speaking to your audience? Cause I think people forget, you know, that when you have a business, people are not just going to, when you just launch, they're not just going to show up at your doorstep. You do have to do something to talk with them, to showcase why they should work with you, showcase past clients that you've worked with, or if you don't have clients yet, then just start showcasing yourself and your knowledge. And, or if you're in, you know, a visual, like graphic design or website design, show your portfolios, show your pieces, so show your visual work. We live in that day and age that we need, especially if we're going to run an online business, we have to remember, like, we need to be talking to the people that we want to serve, especially one-on-one. So that kind of leads into my question I have for you around, like, what types of content do you recommend people offer in a one-on-one service-based world? Like, for example, with your lawyers, or if someone who in our audience is a social media manager themselves or website designers, et cetera, when are we, you know, are we always showing up doing promo content? Are we always showing up doing like family life content? Like, what is this balance as a business? What type of content are you seeing recommended that work well for one-on-one service-based business owners?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the content I would recommend for a service-based business, usually overall, like, while I say I would never go to a client and say, you must do video, you must be on this platform, I try to take a holistic approach to everything I do for social media. But of course, there's best practices. You know, there are best practices for if you want to grow on Instagram versus TikTok, things like that. So what I fall back on when I'm first working with a client, or even what I'm just seeing in the online space do really well, is always having content pillars. So having those various just main themes that you regularly are going to be sharing in your content. That way there's this balance that you were referring to. So I'm always putting together suggested content pillars for my clients. Usually when I onboard them, my process is doing the competitive analysis, audit of their accounts, putting together the strategy based on that and their goals. And then coming to the table saying, hey, for example, usually I think almost every business owner needs at least an educational pillar, which is going to be to educate and value their audience based on whatever industry they're in. And then a motivational pillar, which is usually for entertainment, engagement purposes, sharing, whatever that looks like for that business owner. It could be maybe them sharing their story, like how they started their business, giving that behind the scenes. And entertainment and personal. So it's usually those four pillars are what I see are best practice and do really well when somebody can successfully have enough content to fill all those different kinds of topics. And then that's regularly shared. Now, like in terms of the balance and like how much of personal versus how much of educational should you be sharing? I don't personally believe there's like an exact answer to that. I think it does depend on where you're at in business. Some of my clients actually don't want to take on more business right now. They're capped out, but they want to stay top of mind and they want to continue connecting with their audience. So if that's the case, you might see a little more of the personal behind the scenes motivational content with the educational sprinkled in versus you know, on the flip side, like most business owners are looking for business and looking to get more leads. So we would probably try A/B testing a balance and seeing what's doing best and doing more or less of that. I'm sure a lot of people wonder, and that's what stops them from posting, because they're like, is this right? Is this too much personal? Is this not enough educational? Things like that.
I love the strategy around content pillars. I think that that's so key for showing up online and then also being able to batch out content, or also even being able to come up with content ideas and being able to really find a rhythm and a system, because I think that that can be the hardest part. I fall victim to this all the time with not being consistent and not going back to our, you know, the pillars and just, hey, let's sit down and batch out some content and then trying to do it on the fly. And then it's just not... it's not very strategic and it's not very consistent. Yeah. And I think that having those content pillars, going back to them every time and just having a running list of like, when you are inspired, like now we have an Airtable where when we are inspired, we just start dropping it in and we tag it with a content pillar. And then when we go to batch out the content, we have all that there, the ideas. Okay, boom. Now let's go see what's like trendy. You know, what are the real trends? What are the, you know, in the different categories that we want to create, or is it that we want a longer form piece of content, whatever it is, at least our ideas are out there. Cause that's something that I feel like I honestly still kind of struggle with today in terms of showing up online is just with the sheer amount of content that needs to be produced and the consistency of it. Because at the end of the day, we're also running a business and serving clients. And like you're saying, and then there's this additional thing of like, what is social media doing to serve us? Like what stage in our business and how is it currently serving us? And then showing up in that way. The content pillars, honestly, I think was game changer when we started really getting into that.
Yeah. I mean, while you should be able to be authentic and just share what feels right to you, there is still strategy behind it, right? And mm-hmm. like being intentional about what you're sharing. So I often see business owners that come to me and they, where it's like, they just have no clue. They have like no topics in mind. They're like, okay, maybe today I'll post my dog, tomorrow I'll post the office. You know, it's kind of like for the sake of posting.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to get away from when businesses work with me. It's infusing more of that like intentionality and saying, hey, just take a few minutes to sit down and like write out a few things, and it goes a long way.
So to bring it back a little bit more to our topic of authenticity today, I am curious to hear from you the opposite of kind of what you're seeing around trends or strategies in this marketing and social media landscape that you would consider inauthentic and would be strategies that you wouldn't recommend people pursue online.
I love that you ask that, because I have an answer. It's going to be holistic at first.
Great.
I mean, I have thoughts on that, of course. And I do have, again, best practices I would advise. But initially, my thoughts around what trends should or shouldn't be pursued, what I would or would not recommend, really, again, comes back to what's authentic to you. So a great example is, like, I have a client. She loves making video content, but she has so much fun with the trending sounds. She loves them. She'll film so many of them. She has a lot of fun with it. She comes up with ideas too, which I love. So I can tell that's her, that lights her up. And I love that. And I want to encourage that. Whereas the talking videos, she'll do, but she's not as excited about that. Mm. Then in that case, it's like, okay, we'll find a way to weave in the talking videos still. So they're there. We'll talk about prompts and topics that feel good to you so that you don't dread sitting down having to record them, versus another client who actually despises trending audios. That's just not his thing. And that's okay too. I respect that. He leans more into the talking videos. That's his place. That feels good to him. So that's the main perspective I have of this, is that it's what feels best to you. You should be doing more of that, because anything you do, whether it's the trending sounds or, I don't know, if you like memes and you want to share, they are good for engagement. If you have resistance towards what you're doing, you're not going to grow. That's just the fact. So that's my initial thoughts around it. I would say, if I had to advise a client, like, hey, or business out there, don't do this. Like, if you want to do social media marketing and hire someone like me, my one thing I would clearly say is don't chase virality. Like, don't chase what everyone else is doing to be like everyone else. Don't chase this number. That's definitely one thing that I think a lot of people do that never results in sustainable growth. So never chasing that, and just kind of reeling it back and seeing the bigger picture.
That's great. It actually leads into my next question for those who are trying to stand out in the social media space as service-based business owners. What advice would you be giving them to, and you give maybe some examples of, cutting through the online noise of either their competitors or just the general fact that there is just so much content being produced? So how can we authentically show up and maybe even stand out in the online world?
Yeah, I think the great thing about being authentic, at least from my own observations, people I follow and admire, my own clients, is that when you show up authentically, you stand out. Like, you don't need a certain content strategy or a certain way that you write your captions to stand out. I think already as it is, if you're showing up as you and you're mm-hmm. sharing your true voice and speaking your mind and giving your audience you in your yeah. realest form, you'll stand out because people crave that. They want that. And I think a great example is one of the lawyers I work with. He has really helped inspire a lot of other lawyers in the online space by being oh, cool. authentic. Like, he's just known for being him. People love him because he shows up on Instagram stories with whatever's on his mind that day. He's not afraid of what people think. He also shows up in his content, not in a suit and tie all the time, like lawyers are, you know, yep. the stereotype that if you're a lawyer, like, you can't make content in like a hoodie. That's like unprofessional. Well, he says, too bad, I want to wear a hoodie today. And that has made him grow so fast. He's built his law firm from scratch organically from social media by being him. It's a simple thing, right? It sounds yeah. simple, like, oh, I just show up as myself, but it's harder than we realize because we right. have worry about what people will think.
Mm-hmm. And it does kind of go back to what you were saying before around, like, don't just look at what other people are doing and do that. Do something that feels good for you. Is, you know, connecting with your audience. And I think that kind of leads, it's like chicken before the egg, it kind of just happens. Like, it's just authenticity follows when you're staying in your own lane and you're just showing up like, hey, this is what I'm super passionate about. This is what I do. I want to share this with you guys. I want to connect. If you need me, I want to be here for you to be able to provide a service for you. And like you said, I think you had said it earlier, like, you don't really need some fancy strategy if you are genuinely also showing up under, you know, online.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with that. I will throw in there though, that all of my clients I work with right now are leveraging video heavily. So yeah. I do see that's helped with that organic growth a lot faster. So I would say if you're someone really resistant to video, maybe it's email marketing or blogs mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. else.
Yeah.
But finding a way to show yourself authentically, even if it is through like static photos and Instagram stories or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. And I love that you said that about picking another channel. We mm-hmm. talked a little bit about platforms. We talked a little about what content's on there, but it's also, you know, you said email marketing or maybe it's blogging. And I love that. It's something that I talk a lot about with our students and with our SWP members. When it comes to marketing, you don't have to do social media management. You don't have to do email marketing. You don't have to do anything, because when you feel forced to do something, you're not going to show up well, you're not going to show up authentically at what we're talking about. And it's going to come across in your language, your videos or your words. And so if you have a lot of resistance to, say, what's working on a platform, so for example, video content, then maybe that platform is not for you. Mm-hmm. And that's almost like owning an authentic piece of who you are as well.
Yes. I loved that. Oh my gosh. That was perfect.
I love that. So as we're wrapping up here, I have a couple last questions for you. And this one's kind of interesting. I'm really curious to hear what your opinion is on this. So with the advancements of AI realistic bots, so for example, I recently saw that there is I think it was Kendall Jenner, where you can actually interact with her. It has a different name. So, you know, it's technically a bot, but it looks so much like her. It's made in her likeness. Do you feel that this is something that will start to be the norm and really challenge authenticity, since it's kind of the true form of what I would consider inauthentic, like cloning yourself and saying, hey, you can talk to me, but it's an essence of me. So, okay, maybe we've programmed it to be very similar to me, but it's not really me. You're putting your likeness into an AI bot that then interacts with your community. This is something I see on the horizon, especially for me in the community building space. And I'm just curious from a social media perspective, and just because we've been having this really cool authenticity conversation, what is your perspective around AI bots on social media and showing up as you or your clients?
I will say AI, and I know especially these like realistic bots now, right? It's still fairly new. It's like in early stages. So I'm definitely keeping my eyes open to see how that develops. I see the benefits. I can see how leveraging this technology can be useful. However, based on what I know at this moment and the growth that's been achieved with my clients and everything I've observed to this point in my career, I don't see the AI technology and AI bots like ever being able to fill this gap between showing up as yourself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Using AI. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there will be, I think they're kind of separate in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see it ever merging and causing a challenge for, let's mm-hmm. say, a business owner out there just trying to show up, but then yeah. they feel like, oh, I need to use AI though. And, you know, I don't think that's ever going to come to that point because, like you said, and this is how I feel too, the AI bots and artificial technology in itself lacks that authenticity piece anyway. Like, it can only mm-hmm. do so much. It mm-hmm. really can. So that's kind of my initial thoughts on it. I definitely think it's intriguing. I'm curious to see how it develops. It's a technology that could be useful, but maybe not for everybody. So mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely am super curious to see how that one evolves. When I saw it, I thought, whoa. Yeah. And I do think that there is power in leveraging new technologies and not being mm-hmm. afraid of new technologies, but there's always that sort of other side of the coin. Like, okay, how is now someone going to utilize this to maybe make us think it is them? And like, then that authenticity, mm-hmm. I feel like gets challenged, because I do think that AI is progressing at a speed that will be very close to human likeness online with the screen yeah. in between. I don't think in person, I think I still would be able to tell a robot from a real person, but online it is, the technology is moving really fast, and I'm super curious. And I always like to bring these kind of conversations to the table and just say, you know, think about that, you know, keep your eye on it. How can you leverage it? But then also, how can we still keep the real human to human, you know, part of life as well, which I think is absolutely being talked about and I don't think is going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I just always love to know people's reactions actually to the new AI bots. I actually think that there's lots that could be leveraged and utilized with AI as we move forward. And then also lots of really important conversations to keep around the fact of like maintaining humanity's integrity, authenticity, connection, and not living ourselves online in a form, in a digital form, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. No, it does. Mm-hmm. I will say even the AI realistic bots that Meta's rolling out, it's mm-hmm. very interesting to see how businesses are going to use that and mm-hmm. the benefits that will come from it.
All right. This is a question that I like to ask all of our audience members. Our listeners are very familiar with this question, and I love the answers I get from it. So, Chelsea, how has starting your own business led to more freedom and fulfillment in your life?
I love that question. I honestly, starting my own business has changed everything for me. Like, just everything. The fact that I can wake up and just map out how my day is going to look, my work days, my work weeks, choosing the workload I want to take on, and being able to determine how many hours I want to be working a week, things like that alone have been huge for me. At first, it was a little scary because it's like this new responsibility, right? To show up now for yourself because you have a business to run, and it's easy to be like, oh, I'll take the day off. But I can't say I ever do that, actually. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I'm a workaholic, so I still work quite a bit, but I'm working on that. Work-life balance is important. But I also think starting my own business, it's allowed me to be able to help my family and be able to be a resource when they do need financial help, which has been huge because I didn't grow up with too much. I had what I needed, but I saw my parents struggle a lot. So I knew that I didn't want that for myself, but I also didn't want them to like live the rest of their lives that way. So it's really huge. And I'm very grateful that I have a business that I'm able to support them and give back for everything they've done for me. So yeah, I love that question.
That was so, so beautiful. And I always get a different answer because I just think it's such a personal thing to all of us who have started a business. And so I love that. I'm sure your family is so appreciative of you being able to give back as well. not that they expected it, but like that they're like, yeah, girl, get it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Cause I mean, initially I had a few people in my family who like, it's very traditional. Everyone in my family has gone to college, gotten a degree, had a 9-to-5 job. I'm the first one that decided not to do that. So of course I had some family members being like, what are you doing? But now they see that I stuck with what I wanted to do. And I guess that ties in again to what we're talking about, which is just being authentic to yourself and not living your life based on what someone else thinks. You need to live your life based on you, what makes you happy.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Chelsea. Where can our listeners connect with you or learn more about you?
I've been building up my own content, working with you and the coaching program. I'm very grateful for that. So you can find me and the exciting things I have planned on Instagram and TikTok. I share a lot of the same material on both. So my handle is just my name, Chelsea Hodges, both Instagram and TikTok. And then you can also go to my Stand store, and that's where I have an option to book a strategy session with me if you are curious about my social media management services, want to see if we're a good fit. But you can also get a downloadable in there. It's a freebie with 30 days of content ideas and prompts. If you're not too sure whether you want to invest in a social media manager, but you just need content ideas. So that's stand.store/Chelsea Hodges.
Amazing. I'll have all of that linked in the show notes. I've seen the 30-day content planning kit and I think it's great. So definitely go download it, get your hands on that. And if you're looking for a social media manager, obviously book a call with Chelsea. She is so great. And I've so enjoyed coaching you inside our program. And I've so enjoyed this conversation that we got to have today. So thank you again so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Say. This was a great conversation. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. And thank you to everybody listening. I will catch you in another episode of the Freedom Filled Life podcast.